بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا بعلومه وعلوم مشايخنا وعلوم سائر الصالحين في الدارين آمين. فقال: باب من مات له سقط. Sikht means a miscarriage. So if somebody has a miscarriage, right? In the previous lessons, we read some ahadith in relation to if somebody loses a child in infancy or childhood before maturity, and the huge reward for that. Then in this chapter, Imam Bukhari mentions the virtue of when a person loses a child before birth, during pregnancy. So he says, "An Sahal ibn al-Hanzaliyah." Sahal ibn al-Hanzaliyah is a very pious and senior Sahabi who was present for the Battle of Uhud and others. He was a very pious gentleman. There's a long hadith narrated in Sunan Abi Dawud. It says that this Sahabi, he's not named there, but it's regarding him, that he would just come quietly to the masjid, perform his salah, and go back home. And he spent all his time in ibadah and fasting. He wouldn't talk to anybody. So Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, despite being such a senior Sahabi himself, he once said to one of his friends that let's ask him for some advice. And this is a good habit. If you see somebody, a wise person, a knowledgeable person, you say to them that, can you give me some advice? Give me some thing that will benefit me. Tell me something that will benefit me. Nasiha, basically. So they said, كَلِمَةً تَنْفَعُنَا وَلَا تَضُرُّكَ. Tell me something that will help me and it won't harm you. He's not going to harm you, to tell me. So just on the way from the masjid to the home, he just said some ahadith. And he did this 2-3 times. This shows the humbleness of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu as well, that on multiple occasions, he asked for advice from this pious old Sahabi, and the Sahabi gave him advice. So, and each time he narrated a hadith as advice. So the Sahabi himself did not have any children. He says, yeah, and Sahal ibn al-Hanzaliyah, وَكَانَ لَا يُولَدْ لَهُ. He was unable to have children. فَقَالَ لَأَنْ يُولَدَ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَدٌ سِقْتٌ فَأَحْتَسِبَهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لِلدُّنْيَا جَمِيعًا وَمَا فِيهَا. That if I could have a child born in Islam, meaning after becoming Muslim, if I could have a child who dies as a miscarriage, if my wife was to miscarry, and then I could hope for reward from this, this would be more beloved more to me than the whole world and whatever it contains. Yeah. Meaning, and this is because of the fazilat and virtue he had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in relation to having if a woman has a miscarriage. So he says that the sawab that I would get from that would be more beloved to me than the whole world and what it contains. Because the whole world, nowhere I feel, all the riches of the world, they're temporary. They only with you for as long as you live. But the sawab you get for this one thing is permanent in the akhirah. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says in the translation, رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيكم مال وارثه أحب إليه من ماله. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who of you holds his heir's property dearer to him than his own property? Right? Which wealth would you love more, your own or your brother's, your nephew's, your uncle's? Whose wealth is more beloved to you?
Your own.
Your own, of course. They answered, قالوا يا رسول الله ما منا أحد إلا ماله أحب إليه من مال وارثه. They answered, يا رسول الله, every one of us loves his own property more than that of his heirs. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اعلموا أنه ليس منكم أحد إلا مال وارثه أحب إليه من ماله. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in reality, you should know that every one of you loves his heir's property more than his own. Meaning, when you look at your bank balance and you get so happy, yeah. you keep clicking on that app, oh, it's 20k, 30k, 100k, 200k, and it makes you so happy. What you don't realize is that money is not yours. It's going to go to your inheritors. Why do you love that? Which money is truly yours? That money which you spent in the path of Allah and sent forward, that money is yours. Okay? When you have wealth, there's three things you can do with it. Number one, you can spend it. So you might spend it on food, you've eaten it, you flush it down the toilet. You might spend it on clothes, you've worn them, you've chucked them in the bin. So your money is gone in the bin. Your money has been digested. Right? So that's one thing of your money. The other money is you save it and you watch it and you get happy. You buy a house with it and you get happy. Oh, I've got this house, I've got this massive mansion. That house is not going to be yours. Very soon you'll die and that wealth and that house, that property, that bank balance or those collections of yours will all go to your inheritors. And the third thing you can do with your money is spend it in the path of Allah. Now, from these three, which would you say is yours in the long term? The last one, yeah? The first one is very short term. Within hours or days, it's gone. The second one is only up to your death. But the third one, when you spend the path of Allah, that will stay with you forever. So that's truly your wealth. In a hadith of Muslim, there's a similar hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمْ مَالِي مَالِي. The person says, a man says, my wealth, my wealth. وَهَلْ لَكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ مِنْ مَالِكَ. Do you actually have any wealth? Illa ma akalta fa afnayta. What you eat and it perishes. Aw labista fa ablayta. Or you wear and it's worn out. Aw tasaddaqta fa amdayta. Or you spend in charity, in sadaqah, and you pass it forward. So your true wealth is only that which will be with you in the hereafter. Because the true life is the life of the hereafter. This is a temporary life. So this life shouldn't count for anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make statements like this to make the Sahaba realize that the real life worth preparing for is the life of the hereafter, and to take the love of wealth and love of riches out of their heart. He kept reminding them that send your wealth forward. There's another hadith similar where an animal was given as a gift, and I think it was Aisha radiallahu anha, or one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She gave all of the animal in sadaqah to the poor. And she just left one shoulder for Rasulullah to eat. So when he came home, he asked, is anything left from the animal? So she said, only the shoulder is left. So Rasulullah said, everything is left except for the shoulder. Because the shoulder is sent forward in the akhirah, we're going to get ajr for that. What we're going to eat, we don't want to get ajr for that. So in reality, what you give in sadaqah, that's yours. So all these different ahadith are the same kind of message, that what's in this world here sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma ta'udduna feekum ar-raqub. Who amongst yourselves do you consider as childless? Raqub is somebody who keeps losing their children, who has children, but every time they have a child, it passes away. You have some people, for whatever reason, taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes there's some health problems, for example, the genetic problem. So every child they have doesn't live for very long. Yeah? The word raqub means somebody who's always in wait. So the ulama say that because this person is always scared when they have a child that at any time the child could die. So it's like they're always in wait. They're always worried about and apprehensive about their child. So what do you call a raqub? قَالُوا الرَّقُوبُ الَّذِي لَا يُولَدُ لَهُ. Raqub is the one who doesn't have any children. قَالَ لَا. This is not true. Well, meaning the true raqub. From a literal point of view, that's correct. From a literal point of view, that's correct. But ولكن الرقوب الذي لم يقدم من ولده شيئا. The real raqub, the childless one, is the one who has not sent forward any of his children. You think raqub is the one whose children keep dying, who can't have any child who lives. But if you don't have any children who have passed away, in the hereafter, you won't have any children to intercede for you. But if you have a child who has passed away, then on the day of Qiyamah, you will have that child, and that child will pull you into Jannah. So on the day of Qiyamah, in this world, somebody who didn't lose any children is the fortunate one, very lucky. And the one who loses a child, we say, oh, he's so unlucky and he's so sad. But in the hereafter, the tables will be turned. That the one who lost a child in dunya will actually see that as a blessing, because that child will be the one pulling them into Jannah. قال وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تعودون فيكم الصرعة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, who do you consider the strongest, or you could say the best wrestler? Sara'a means to wrestle someone down. So sura'a means the best wrestler. قالوا هو الذي لا يصرعه رجال. He is the one who cannot be wrestled by men. Meaning nobody can wrestle him down, nobody can beat him in a fight. That's what you call sura'a. Oh, that's a warrior, a champion warrior. Nobody can win against him. فقال, so Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ولكن الصرعة الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The true strong one, the true wrestler, or the true warrior is the one who controls himself when angry. Okay? It's easy to fight somebody in front of you, but to fight your own anger and to fight your nafs when it's angry, that's very difficult. That's the true warrior. That's the warrior, that's the kind of fight that's praiseworthy. There's another meaning. The fighting people isn't something that you deserve praise for. Because Allah has given some people physical strength, and Allah hasn't given some people physical strength. So just because you punch somebody harder than they punch you, how does that make you so special? What's praiseworthy is if you can control yourself when you're angry, because that shows a strength of character. The strength of character is worth more than physical strength. باب حسن الملكة. So from here now, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi starts a new topic, which is how to deal with one's slaves. They used to have slaves, and in one of the previous lessons we spoke in detail about why Islam allowed slavery and how Islam helped to control and abolish slavery, etc. So we spoke about this previously. But the fact of the matter is that there were slaves in the Islamic society. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us very clear guidelines on how to treat those slaves. And even though we don't have slaves now, but we do have employees, we have subjects. If you're a teacher, you have students. If you're a boss or owner of a company, you have people working for you. Or just in your daily life, if you go to a shop and there's a laborer there, there's a worker there, there's a cleaner there. If you go in, you know, if you're in a restaurant, there's a waiter there. How do you treat them? Right? Because if Islam is telling us that treat a slave well, then somebody who's not your slave, who's just serving you for a short while, of course you have to treat them with respect. And don't be rude to them, don't abuse them, don't offend them, don't oppress them or wrong them in any way. Some people go to a restaurant and, you know, they act like they own the place, and they own the waiters as well. So don't behave in that way. Even if you did own them, look at what Shaykh is saying, how you should be. Nu'aym bin Yazid says that Ali ibn Talib, Abi Talib said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became ill, meaning his final illness is referring to a few days before he passed away. In one narration it says on the Thursday. So he passed away on a Monday, so 4 days before he passed away, on the Thursday, this incident happened. قال يا علي ائتني بطبق أكتب فيه ما لا تظل أمتي. يا علي, bring me a sheet. Over here it says it's translated as sheet. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri explains that tabak is actually a type of animal bone which is flat, taken from the shoulder. So in those days, paper wasn't readily available in Arabia. So they would normally write on either animal skin, okay, if it's on the inside of the skin, you can write on it, or on the inner, you know, the bark of a tree. If you, what do you call it? Chile, in Urdu we say chilna. If you sort of peel it into thin, yeah, if you slice it thin, then you can write on there. Also on stone, they would carve on stone or write on stone. So sometimes on animal bones, if an animal has died, it's got a large bone, they used to write on there. So in short, Rasulullah said, bring something for me to write on. So that I can write something, meaning have something written, after which my community will never go astray. فَخَشِيتُ أَن يَسْبِقَنِي. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, I feared that he might die before I could do that. Okay? There's another incident a bit similar to this, where Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, you don't need to write. And possibly because he realized how ill Rasulullah was, he said, you've already taught us everything. You've given us the Quran, we have your Sunnah. We don't need to write. So some people, especially Shias, they criticize Umar radiallahu anhu, and they make it out like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to promise the Khilafah to Ali, and Umar radiallahu anhu stopped him. Which makes no sense whatsoever, because if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to promise the or make a will for Hazrat Ali to be Khalifa, he would have said it, he could have spoken it, why did he have to write it? Right? There were plenty of people listening. So all the objections don't make any sense. But over here, Hazrat Ali himself said that you don't need to write. So whatever objections you have against Umar, somebody could make the same objections against Sayyidina Ali here, but they're both unfounded. Because if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Sayyidina Ali to be Khalifa, he would have said it. And then they say, oh, he said it, but he told Ali secretly. But Ali didn't disclose it for another 30 years. And, you know, Hazrat Abu Bakr Umar was the Khalifa, he stayed quiet. Na'uzu billah. You know, he's the Lion of Allah. I call him Ali al-Haydar, which means the Lion. What is it? And still, what's the title given to Hazrat Ali? In Khaybar, Rasulullah said, like Khaybar Ali is a Saifullah. So Hazrat Ali had a special title as well. So he's known for his bravery. And why would he remain silent for so long? And not disclose that he should have been the Khalifa. So all those objections are nonsensical. We don't even need to go into them. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, I was scared that he might pass away. Meaning, by the time I go get something right on and I come back, what if he does pass away? Because he was so unwell. It's reported that before he passed away, he was unwell for some time, maybe 2 weeks, I don't remember exactly. And then on the Friday, he looked a lot better. But then on Monday, he passed away. So I think this is on Thursday, so he didn't look too well. So Ali radiallahu anhu was scared. إِنِّي لَأَحْفَظُ مِنْ ذِرَاعِي ذراعي الصحيفة. I said that I will be certain to remember. Over here, it seems like there's a mistake, not a mistake, but somewhere this text has been changed. It's discussed in the Shuruhat. وكان رأسه بين ذراعي وعضدي. That his head was between my forearm and my upper arm. He's leaning on my arm. يوصي بالصلاتي والزكاتي وما ملكت أيمانكم. And he advised us about the importance of salah and zakah and your slaves. Yeah, what your right hand possess, literally, your slaves. So these are the three things. In some riwayat, as-salah wa malakat aymanukum were amongst the last advices, or the last advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be careful of your salah, be careful of your zakah, and be good to your slaves. وَقَالَ كَذَلِكَ. And you could say that all the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be categorized into two. One is حقوق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is حقوق of Ibad, Allah's creation. So by As-Salah and Zakah, Rasulullah s.a.w. reminded us to be mindful of Allah's rights. And by saying مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, reminded us be mindful of the rights of people, from amongst people, especially the slave. If you're good to your slave, of course you'll be good to others. وَقَالَ كَذَلِكَ, and he continued to say this, حَتَّى فَاضَتْ نَفْسُهُ. It says here, until his soul departed. Okay, it's possible that his soul departed, or it's possible that he temporarily fainted and then came back into consciousness. وَأَمَرَهُ بِشَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He also commanded us to declare that there is no God, no deity other than Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. مَنْ شَهِدَ بِهَا, whoever testifies by this, whoever believes in this, حُرِّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ, he is made haram on the Jahannam. I mean, Jahannam cannot burn him. If you say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, Jahannam cannot burn you. If you say, if a person becomes Muslim and doesn't do any sins and dies, he won't go, he's got no sins, all his sins are forgiven, he'll go straight to Jannah. Or if a person did sin, he may go into Jahannam, but temporarily. But permanently, Jahannam is haram on him. And other answers are given for this as well. And Abdullah ibn Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, Ajibu al-Da'iya. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, accept invitations. If somebody invites you, then if there's no reason to say no, you should accept the invitation. Yeah, sometimes a person gets invited to a da'wat, but they just refuse out of arrogance. I'm not going to his. Right? So if this out of arrogance is haram, we shouldn't do that. Otherwise, what's the ruling? Generally, if somebody calls you for an invitation, it's mustahab. It's recommended that you accept. However, if it's a walima, some ulama have said it's wajib. If it's da'wat of walima, some ulama say it's wajib. But the Hanafiya scholars say that no, it's sunnat mu'akkadah. It's sunnat mu'akkadah to accept a walima invitation as long as there's not any reason to not go. Not any reason to not go if there's going to be haram acts going on there, or if they're calling you for a wrong reason, or if they may disgrace you, okay, or if there's some harm to you from going there, etc. So if you have a valid reason to not go, it's fine. Otherwise, it's sunnah mu'akkada, to emphasize sunnah, to accept a invitation to a walima. But, and some ulama say it's wajib. So, ajibu al-da'i. Wala taruddu al-hadiyya. Do not refuse a gift. If someone gives you something, again, without any good reason, you shouldn't refuse gifts. Take gifts. It's sunnah to take gifts, and it's also sunnah to give back in return. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would accept gifts, and he would return, and he would return more than what was given to him. That was his sunnah. In one riwayat, it comes that a certain person, a Bedouin, gave one camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him 7 camels in return. And he went out and he said to people, he complained that I gave him a camel, I only got 7 back. People knew, that when it became common that if you give Rasulullah a gift, you get more in return. So he was complaining that I only got 7 back. Wala tadribul muslimin. Do not hit Muslims, do not beat up any Muslim. So over here, of course, slaves are included in Muslims, is mentioned the sifat of Islam to show that someone is a Muslim, someone submits to Allah, then how can you hit that person? Generally, whoever it is, whether it's a family member or a stranger, if they're a Muslim, you shouldn't hit them. There is just being a human is a reason not to hit someone, but then being a Muslim is an even greater reason, an additional reason to not hit them. عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان آخر كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة الصلاة اتقوا الله فيما ملكت أيمانكم. That the final words of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم were that Salah, Salah, fear Allah in what your hands possess, meaning your slaves. Be careful with your slaves, don't do zulm, don't oppress, and don't wrong your slaves. This shows the importance. We could say it's from the last words, or the last words of advice, because the absolute last words were, Allahumma ar-Rafiq al-A'la. That, oh Allah, I choose the highest companion, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's because, meaning, I'm ready to meet Allah. And then his soul departed. So those were his absolute final words. But these are the last words of advice that he gave. You can say from the last words. عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه كان يقول للناس نحن أعرف بكم من البياطرة بالدواب. أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه, he used to say to people that we understand you better than vets understand animals. بياطرة means veterinary, جمع plural of بيطرة, which means a vet, animal doctor in simple terms. So they know their animals really well. They know all the different types of animals and how to treat them and what problems they have. They say, I understand you better than the doctor understands, or the vet understands animals. قَدْ عَرَفْنَا خِيَارَكُمْ مِنْ شِلَالِكُمْ. We know the good of you from the bad. أَمَّا خِيَارُكُمْ الَّذِي يُرْجَى خَيْرُهُ وَيُؤْمَنُ شَرُّهُ. The good of you are those whose good is hoped for and from whom none fear any evil. In every community, in every family, you have some people who say, we say, he's a safe person. We should use that word. He's a safe, meaning he's a good guy. He's never going to hurt you. He won't harm anyone. He won't trouble anyone. You don't need to worry about him. That's the sign of a good person. And وَمَّا شِرَارُكُمْ, and the bad from you, فَالَّذِي لَا يُرْجَى خَيْرُهُ وَلَا يُؤْمَنُ شَرُّهُ, is are those for whom, from whom there is no hope for good. And people don't feel safe from his evil. And a third sign, وَلَا يُعْتَقُ مُحَرَّرُهُ, that his slaves are not freed. When you hear about a certain individual or a certain family, that when they get slaves, when they're gifted to them or they buy slaves, they free many slaves, know that they are good people. And those people who don't, who never free slaves, that means they're stingy. The slaves cost money. Right, and they don't care about the slaves. They don't think, wish best for them. So know that that is a sign that they're not very good people. So the purpose is over here is Imam Bukhari is saying, look, if freeing of slaves is a sign of a good person, so you should free slaves if you have some. And Ali Muhammad رضي الله عنه قال سمعته يقول الكنود الذي يمنع رفده وينزل وحده ويظلم عبده. A truly ingrate person. Yeah, Al-Kanud, the word comes in the Quran. It means a very ungrateful person. So the true ungrate, the most ungrateful person who Allah refers to in the Quran, who is that person? Alladhi yamna'u rifdahu. A person who is stingy, who doesn't share. وَيَنْزِلُ وَحْدَهُ. Says here, he stands aloof. Meaning, he tries to be separate from people, stand out from people. Yeah? He always wants to stand out, be different, and be unique. Yeah? Be above people. Always wants to be better than people, appear better than people. And وَيَذْرِبُ عَبْدَهُ, who beats his own slave. This person is a kanood. What kind of a person beats his own slave? عن الحسن رضي الله عنه ورحمه أن رجلا أمر غلاما له أن يسنو على بعير له, فنام الغلام فجاء بشعلة من نار فألقاها في وجهه فتردى الغلام في بئر, فلما أصبح أتى عمر بن الخطاب فرأى الذي في وجهه فأعتقه. حسن البصري رحمه الله رضي عنه says that a man ordered a slave of his to draw water using a camel of his. Okay. In those days, if you had a large field, if you had a, for example, you had a, what do you call it, orchard of date palms, that was the most popular. Or if you had some other farming, then obviously you need to water it. So they'd have a camel, and they'd tie a massive bucket to that camel. And then the camel would be made to walk. So when the camel walks, the water comes out, and then they throw that into the gutters or drains they had made, and then that water would go into that. We have to keep doing this, keep drawing water. It's a very difficult task. So he had instructed his slave to do this. But Nam al Ghulam, the slave fell asleep. He must have been tired or whatever, so he didn't do the job. فَجَاءَ بِشُعْلَةٍ مِّن نَّارِ So this man took a torch, meaning a flame, right? Burned something, he burned some fire, took something burning, something on fire, فَأَلْقَاهَا فِي وَجْهِهِ And he threw it into his well. Into his face, sorry. He threw the flame on his face. فَتَرَدَّ الْغُلَامُ فِي بِئْرٍ So the slave fell or jumped into the well. Either he fell into the well, or he might have escaped into the well for safety. Because the guy's crazy, he might kill him, so he ran into the well for security. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ So in the morning, أَتَى عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ He came to Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, فَرَأَى الَّذِي فِي وَجْهِهِ فَأَعْتَقَهُ When Umar radiallahu anhu saw what happened to his face, he freed him. He said to the master, you know, you don't have to look after your slave, you can't have the slave. He set him free. That shows that was a form of punishment, financial punishment, which shows that hitting a slave and torturing him in this manner is not allowed. Bab Bay al-Khadimi min al-A'rab. Over here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating to a fiqhi issue, which is that is it permissible to sell slaves to the A'rab, Bedouins, people who don't live in the city? They're not usually as cultured and civilized as the people of the city. The answer is yes, you are allowed to, as this hadith indicates. And Amra radiallahu ta'ala anha, anna Aisha dabbarat amatan laha. Amra says, Aisha radiallahu anha had arranged for a slave girl of hers to be set free after her own death. Okay, dabbara is so the technical term where a slave is made something called mudabbar. Mudabbar is that slave where the master says, when I die, this slave will be free. And that happens. Now, whenever that master dies, that slave is automatically freed. Fashtakat Aisha. Then Aisha became ill. Fasa'la banu akhiha. So her nephews consulted a African or Indian doctor. Zut, all we know is it's a certain type of people, either from some area in Sudan or some area of the Indian subcontinent. So they asked this doctor, فَقَالَ إِنَّكُمْ تُخْبِرُونِي عَنِ امْرَأَةٍ مَسْحُورَةٍ So when this doctor heard the symptoms, they said, you are speaking of a lady who is afflicted by magic. Saharatha amatun laha. And a slave girl has cast a spell on her. So, فأخبرت Aisha, Aisha radiallahu anha was told of this. فقالت سحرتيني. She addressed her and said, did you cast a spell on me? قالت نعم. She said, yes, she confessed. فقالت ولما. Why? Why would you do that? لا تنجين أبدا. You will never be free. I'm not going to let you be free now. I promised you upon my death. Sometimes what would happen, this would happen, is when they would say, when I die, this slave is free, then the slave would try and kill the master or the owner quick so they can get free quick. So maybe she thought through the magic, Nauzubillah, Aisha will die quick and I'll get free. She said, you know what, the best thing for you is that I don't keep you, because if I keep you, you're going to do more black magic on me. ثُمَّ قَالَتْ بِعُوهَا مِنْ شَرِّ الْعَرَبِ مَلَكَةً And she said, Aisha gave instructions, sell her to the worst masters among the Arabs. Who were the Arab? Because they weren't very kind to their slaves. Because Aisha was so kind to her, she was taking advantage of that kindness, and she wanted. So he said, send her to somebody who will show her what being a slave really means. Then she'll remember and then she'll miss us. So sell her to some Bedouins, they'll make her work for her money, like they say. Babul Afu an al Khadim. That if your Khadim, your servant, your employee, okay, makes a mistake, then you should pardon them. You shouldn't be so strict on them. I'm gonna finish it early now. I'll give this hadith and then end it there. Yeah, I'm not feeling too good as well. Allah. What's up? It's gone off. Be back. عن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معه غلامان، فوهب أحدهما لعلي وقال: لا تضربه، فإني نهيت عن ضرب أهل الصلاة، وإني رأيته يصلي منذ أقبلنا. It is narrated from Abu Umama رضي الله عنه that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم came with two slaves. He gave one of them to Ali and he said, do not hit him. فإني نهيت عن ضرب أهل الصلاة. I have been forbidden from hitting people who perform salah. وإني رأيته يصلي منذ أقبلنا. And I have seen praying since we returned. They would have got this slave in a battle. Yeah. So since we captured him and we brought him here, I see that he always prays in the world. وَأَعْطَىٰ أَبَا ذَلٍ غُلَامًا. If a Muslim is captured, you can't make him a slave. But if he was to be captured as a non-Muslim and then he accepts Islam, he still remains a slave. That status won't go. So, وَأَعْطَىٰ أَبَا ذَلٍ غُلَامًا. And he gave one slave to Abu Dhar. وَقَالَ اِسْتَوْصِ بِهِ مَعْرُوفًا. And he said that, take my advice in looking after him. Okay, take good care of him. Take good care of him. فَأَعْتَقَهُ. So Abu Dhar رضي الله عنه freed him. In one narration it comes, he came home and he told his wife that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave me this slave and he said, take good care of him. So how pious and wise his wife was. She said, we're never going to be able to take care of him the way we should. So the best thing to do is set him free. Then Abu Dhar رضي الله عنه set him free. فقال ما فعل؟ After some time, Rasulullah said, how's that slave? Well, how's he doing? فقال أمرتني أن أستوصي به خيرا فأعتقته. You told me to take care, good care of him. I thought the best way to take care of him is to set him free. So I set him free. This shows how willing the Sahaba were to freeing slaves based on the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas رضي الله عنه قال قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة وليس له خادم. فأخذ أبو طلحة بيدي فانطلق بي حتى أدخلني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا نبي الله إن أنس غلام كيس لبيب فليخدمك. Anas رضي الله عنه says that Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Medina and he did not have any servant. So Abu Talha took me by my hand and went with me until he entered with me upon Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Talha is Anas رضي الله عنه's stepfather. And he said, previously it came that his mother took him. Over here his father took him. They both must have. Ya Nabi Allah, inna anasan ghulamun kayyisun labibun. The Anas is a clever, intelligent boy. فَلْيَخْدُمْكَ. So he should serve you. قَالَ فَخَدَمْتُهُ فِي السَّفَرِ وَالْحَضَرِ مَقْدَمَهُ الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى تُوفِيَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. I served Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم whilst traveling and whilst at home from his arriving in Medina until when he passed away. ما قال لي شيء صنعته لما صنعت هذا هكذا. He never said for anything which I did, why did you do this like this? How many times did we say to our children, to our partner, why did you do this? Why did you not do this? This is his khadim. Yeah? He's not his slave, but the parents had handed him over. Okay? So use him as much as you want, whatever you want. He'll do all your work for you. But he never asked him, why did you do this? ولا قال لي شيء لم أصنعه ألا صنعت هذا هكذا. Nor did he ever say for something which I did not do that, why didn't you do this in this manner? Meaning he never used to question me. That just shows how Rasulullah, how kind he was to Anas رضي الله عنه, who was not even a slave. So we should behave like this with our employees and those, our subjects, those who we have authority over. بَابٌ إِذَا سَرَقَ الْعَبْدُ. Just, we just finished this section of slaves and then we'll conclude the lesson. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سرق المملوك بعه ولو بنشح. قال أبو عبد الله النشح 20 والنواد 5 والأوقية 40. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if a slave steals, then sell him, even if it's in exchange for a nash. أبو عبد الله من البخاري. His kunya was أبو عبد الله. When Bukhari says that a nash is 20 silver coins, whilst a nawat is 5, Na'uqiyah is 40. So in other words, sell the slave even if it's for cheap. Because if he's, once he's got a habit of stealing, the habit's not going to go. Right? Whereas if he goes to another, the question here, the hadith says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That you should want for your brother what you want for yourself. So if he's stealing from you, why is that? If you sell him to somebody else, he'll steal that as well. The answer is no. When he changes owners, the other owner might be more stricter, might be more careful. He may learn his lesson. He may realize, but this is the reason I was sold. And if I steal again, I'll be sold again, and I might not get a good master. So this might teach him a lesson. Many a times in a madrasa, you have a child who really misbehaves. You put him in a different class, or you send him to a different madrasa, and suddenly he becomes a new person because it's a new environment. So when the environment changes, a person's behavior changes as well. One thing I remember here, when my father, Hafizahullah, when he was principal at the Ulum in Bani, as the Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib said to him once that, you know, when students do wrong things, you know, you should pardon them, let them go, give them chances. But because if you find a student stealing, you know, robbing from the madrasa, robbing from other students in their rooms, he says, just send that student out straight away. Expel them. Because that habit doesn't go easily. When they have that habit, it doesn't go. And then others will copy him and then harm others. So this was one thing that our Hazrat said to my father once. But maybe, as I said, that based on this hadith, the hadith says if a slave steals, sell him. The Hazrat said, if a student steals as well, you know, it's very unlikely that he'll change his ways. I think we'll stop there, inshallah. I'm sure, sorry to cut the lesson slightly short today, but we'll continue next week, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.